Farpoint Media, powered by Podango.
Chuck Chat Freestyle for Monday, December 10th, 2007. The audio on this one should come out a little bit better. I'm using a microphone. This is my audio blog, audio journal, audio diary, whatever you want to call it, of things that happen behind the scenes of all the other podcasts that I do. Welcome, or welcome back, as the case may be. This is a drive home from work. Oh, the drive in was interesting. The major artery, US 41, between my house and work, was closed down for a very serious accident this morning. The highway was closed because it was officially a crime scene. Apparently, what I heard was that a pedestrian was killed by a truck. Semi-tractor trailer. What a pedestrian was doing out on the highway, six-lane highway, I don't know. But my sympathies to all those involved. And all those who had to face the traffic this morning, like me. After 15 minutes, I made a whole 1 mile of progress. I was running around trying to, felt like a football player trying to get through the line of defense, because every time I went down a road, it was blocked. So then I try another route, and it was blocked, or backed up, or congested. The progress on the Dummies book is going well. Spent this last weekend kind of doing some back research. I am still ahead of schedule, officially. The first 70-odd pages are due on January 7th, and my total comes up to about 50-something. So T. Morris has to get Chapter 2 done. I've touched up the introduction, and that should be done. So we're in good standing as long as T can hold up his end of the bargain. Did a lot of research. They sent me the author's guideline. This impressed me. This impressed me from the IT standpoint anyway. They have well-defined and well-documented standards for things like chapter headings and figures and file name conventions. The only thing that bothered me was that the list numbers and the figure numbers and things that you can do automatically in Word, all the documentation is done in Microsoft Word, which isn't a problem. They send along a template so that you can use the styles they've defined. That way, all of this happens normally. Very well documented ways of doing the keystrokes, so we need that little special Apple character for, you know, an Apple C to copy things. There are meta characters to do that. It looks a little goofy when you're writing it, but then you can focus on the content and don't have to worry about the layout. They have copy editors and technical editors and photo editors, and there's all kinds of editors to do this. They are a publishing company after all. But it was very impressive. You know, here is your ISBN number. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, blah, 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 blah. And you use the last six digits as the base of all file names and figures that go in there. They also tell you not to crop anything. They've got very well-defined standards on screen resolutions and what works best for, you know, say, capturing an image and file formats in Windows, what resolution you should have, what your title bar should look like. And, well, it takes some getting used to getting the theme or the customized theme that I've got in Windows right now or on the Mac. I know that I will be producing a consistent look and feel to their other books and to the content that's already there. And that's what's important to me. I don't want this thing to look like Chuck's content was hacked into an existing book. It doesn't work that way. I told them they should have a new book, and I'll be happy to write it. Writing Dummies books for Dummies. You know, anybody else who wants to write one of these books, and there are dozens and dozens of them out there, give them a book that shows them how to write the book, very much like what we're doing, the podcasting book. If somebody hasn't done a podcast before, this would show them how to do that process and the standards they need to follow. So why not have a book for sale? Or maybe it's just something they publish that they can give their authors and say, here's how you do this, here's how you do that, this is the file name, and go at it that way. Put that same humorous spin on it. The documents they gave even have it down to grammar. You know, you don't click on a link, you don't click on a button, you click the link or you click the button, you type a phrase, you press a key. So that, again, so that all the books, whether I write it or somebody else, are all consistent. And it's very fascinating. I'm glad to see that they've got that. They'd have to. Otherwise, their editors would go nuts trying to fix all these things on the back end. Who knows what... I'm sure they get all kinds of skill levels for writing capabilities, for humor, for pop culture references. I don't claim to be anywhere near what T and Evo had written in the first one. I try to stick in my own flavor, but not mess with the recipe that's already there too much. And it's very difficult sometimes. Very difficult because I've been writing technically for work, you know, very precise instructions. How to install Microsoft XP. Ooh, something was bouncing on the road, thought it was going to come up and smack my windshield, but it wasn't anything like that. How to install this package for Microsoft Windows, click this and type that and move to this screen, and when you see this, it was very, or specifications for a product, very technical, very professional. That even the emails that I send that go out to the entire company, I want to make sure they're grammatically correct, that they're very succinct and punctual. There's no room for humor. Blah, de, blah, de, blah. Well, much like Technorama is an outlet for my creative side, this book is also a way I have to get into character to write for Podcasting for Dummies. Very difficult. I was talking at one point about defragging the hard drive, you know, making contiguous clusters. You got to do that periodically. You're creating and deleting large audio files, you know, WAV files or AIFF, all the time, so your hard drive's going to get fragmented quickly. So periodically, once a month or so, you want to run a defrag utility. So the analogy, I'm giving you a bit of insight as to what's in the upcoming book. I've always used analogies to portray technical concepts to the non-technical people. Not that I expect non-technical people. Well, yeah, no, there will be quite a few non-technical people podcasting. There already are. They don't want to worry about the bits and bytes of things. So my analogy was, how convenient would it be if you had a shopping list of 25 things and you went to a shopping mall and you had to go to 25 different stores, you know, one for the candle and one for the shoes and one for the, well, that's the way shopping malls are getting these days, but wouldn't it be much easier to go to a Target or a Walmart and just pick everything up at one store? Much more efficient. And you know, the dummy's humor came in and say, well, granted, this is a man's point of view. I'm out to get stuff, not to shop. And wouldn't it be even easier if everything was all in one aisle? Right? Now imagine you've got this all organized and everything's in one aisle that has to do with your shopping list and your wife's is on the next aisle. But you take a few things off and then the restocking boy comes back with 20 cases of paper towels, but there's not enough room on the shelf for 20 cases of paper towels, so 5 go here and 3 go there and 12 go in the store next door. Now you're getting fragmented again. So periodically you have to clean up that kind of stuff. That's what I've been trying to put into the book. Some pieces are more major than others. I have not had a lot of success talking with vendors. There are a number of products. I had good luck talking to other podcasters. A lot of them want to get mentioned in the book. Wouldn't you? If you were in their shoes? I know I would have in the first book. Would have been nice. Not that it would have been a whole lot of publicity, but it just kind of neat to say, hey, I was in Podcasting for Dummies. So there are a number of podcasts that have gone the way of the dodo that I need to replace. But vendors are a little trickier. I don't know if they're just not getting it. I've been leaving voicemail with the marketing department saying, hey, we're looking at replacing this old product with your new product. T has done some of that legwork already. I've got to get in touch with him. He called yesterday, first time we had a chance to talk in a month. The only problem was he called during the church Christmas program. And when I called him back shortly thereafter, I had to leave a voicemail, he was gone. So we have not connected in a few weeks, and it's making me a bit nervous. But my contact at Wiley says that's not unusual for T. He comes through in the end. So I'm making sure that I can toe the line, at least for my side, and we'll get that done. So that's a little insight as to what's happening on the book. It's been very interesting. It's been very educational. Still a lot of work ahead of me. I am glad I'm ahead at this point. The upcoming holidays or any travel will afford me with the opportunity to work on that in a more focused manner. It's very difficult during the week with everything that I've got going on, that the wife has got going on, preparing for the holidays. The kids have their schedules to maintain. Weekends are tough, but I can get in a couple of hours. I've also been trying to get some pages behind me in reading. I've got to get the Physics of the Impossible by Michio Kaku read and off to Craig soon, so that we can conduct a somewhat educated interview, making notes as I go through that book of things we want to ask. That's going to be a fun interview. If you haven't heard on Technorama, that book is coming out in March. We got an advanced copy. The plan is to interview him in February and then release the interview shortly before the book comes out in March. Michio Kaku is a physicist, came up with string theory. He works at CCNY. I forget what the CC stands for. You have to forgive me on that one. But he takes a look at things like transporters and phasers and lightsabers and how possible they are with what we know in physics today, what it would take for technology or what technology needs to catch up. For example, if you wanted a hand phaser, you need the power of a nuclear power plant in something the size of a watch battery. Okay, well, it's physically possible, but it's not going to happen for a while until we can get energy cells that small. So he classifies these into class 1, class 2, and class 3 impossibilities. Interesting thing to note is you never ever say something is impossible. You know, 50 years ago, when my dad was in grade school, they said, oh, no one will ever land on the moon. It's impossible. Well, 40 years ago, it happened. So the same is said about things like plate tectonics. Isn't that unusual that South America and Africa look like they could fit together, but nobody could dream of the internal forces in the Earth that could make that happen? Never say never. The physicist who does will be the physicist who is ridiculed. And as crazy as that sounds when they're saying some of these things and they get scoffed. But hey, I'm almost home. Thanks for listening. This has been Freestyle Audio Blog. Try to get these out more. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Kwanzaa. Whatever happens to be on your side of the planet, in your neighborhood, in your family. Even if you don't celebrate a specific holiday for a specific purpose, keep the season in mind. It's just a great time of year. Great time to smile. Be friendly. Well, any time of year is great for that. But take care. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Farpoint Media, powered by Podango.